Open your Bibles today to Psalm 122, which is the third psalm in the series of 15 psalms dealing with the tribes going up to Israel to worship the Lord. And these 15 psalms, as we've already said, are the Psalms of Degrees, or literally the title in our authorized version at the top is A Song of Degrees. And the word degrees we saw means ascent or going up. Literally, that's what we have in the psalm, if you look at verse 4. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. And those words in the Hebrew where it says the tribes go up, that is the actual title of this series, the going up, or the ascent, or the degrees upward, the steps upward. And so it says in verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built together as a city that is compacted together. And there's no doubt that the different tribes of Israel would sing this psalm as they went up in those days to worship at Jerusalem. But there's something more to this. I believe it's prophetic, looking to a future time when the regathered tribes of Israel will go up to worship the Lord in the millennium. It's a wonderful prophecy, you know, in Ezekiel chapter 37, where the prophet speaks of the fact that not only will it be the Jews, but also the so-called lost tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes, will all be brought together. It says in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 15, the word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel and his companions. Take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel and his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. That is, the tribes of Joseph or Ephraim, that's the 10 tribes, the northern tribes, and the tribe of Judah, that's the Jews, plus probably the tribe of Benjamin is included in that, will be joined together and will be one under the hand of God. That's yet future, when the 10 tribes will be brought back to Judah, and there will be one nation. And this is what this psalm envisions, when the tribes will go up to worship the Lord. You know, we get that in many places of Scripture. We'll look at a couple here in a minute. But we'll just move on down to verse 5. And here we get the millennial scene. It says, for there are thrones set of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. So not just the throne of David, but the plural, the thrones of the house of David. And we get the Lord Jesus speaking about this in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, that's unto the disciples, verily or truly I say unto you, that you which have followed me, that is the Jewish disciples, in the regeneration is the millennial day, it's not now. He's not speaking of the new birth here or justification, he's speaking of the millennial times. That ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of his glory, the Lord Jesus will sit on the throne of David. You also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There will be 12 thrones, each after a different tribe of Israel. And the remnant will be sitting on those thrones and judging judging Israel. It will be the session of judgment at the judgment of the living at the beginning of the millennium. The nations will be judged and Israel will be judged as well. And we have the 12 thrones set here. How interesting. We also have a similar thing in Isaiah chapter 2, where we get, and I will restore thy judges as at the first, and thy counselors as at the beginning. Afterward thou shalt be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. There we get that. Their judges will be restored as at the first. And so that's particularly a connection with the people of Israel. But, you know, even the nations also will come up, although Psalm 122 doesn't really speak of that. Isaiah does, chapter 2. It says, and in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people will go and say, come, let us go up. Notice that, go up. It's the song of degrees and the song of ascents. Go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. So thrones will be set. It says in verse 5 of Psalm 122 that we're looking at now, "For there are thrones set of judgment, the thrones of the house of David." There's an interesting prophecy connection with this also in Daniel. Not only Matthew 19, verse 28, but in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9. If you turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "I beheld till thrones were set, and the Ancient of Days did sit. His raiment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was pure like wool. His throne was as a flame of fire." We can't take the time to go into Daniel 7. It's very interesting. But thrones were set, and the Ancient of Days, that's the Lord Jesus, will sit upon his throne, the throne of David. Now, verse 6 says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, that they shall prosper. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and my companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee." Now, this verse, verse 6, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." I often hear people say, I hear it in prayer meetings all the time and so on, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem." But you know, we're not asked anywhere in the New Testament that I'm aware of to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I don't believe, and this may be a little controversial for some, I don't believe that we're called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. This verse in Psalm 122 is actually looking at a future time when the Lord's kingdom is established in the world. And they're called to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And all who will prosper, who love Jerusalem, those who submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in the millennium will prosper. Peace be within your walls and prosper. All who seek the peace and prosperity of Jerusalem will be blessed. And we see, of course, in Revelation chapter 20, that there will be at the end of the millennium a rebellion by the unconverted, and they'll try to overthrow the Lord, of course, and they'll be destroyed by fire, and that will usher in the final judgment and the new heaven and the new earth. So we're not called, I don't believe, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How can we pray for the peace of Jerusalem when we know that it's going to be shortly under the judgment of God? It's under the judgment of God. It's apostate. And now God will raise up a remnant. And we're to pray for the Jewish people. There's no doubt about that. The Lord God will bless those who bless the Jewish people, right? And we're called to seek their blessing, to seek their salvation. I'm not saying anything against that. But the specific idea of praying for the peace of Jerusalem, I don't believe that we're called to do that. In fact, in Revelation chapter 11, the current description of Jerusalem is this. Verse 8, "Their dead bodies shall lie in the street." That's the body of the two witnesses that the people of Jerusalem murder. "Of the great city," which is Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified, or their Lord was crucified. Christ was crucified in Jerusalem, and here it's called spiritually Sodom and Egypt. It's apostate, and actually Antichrist's throne will be there, and he will sit there saying that he is God, and so on. How can we pray for that? How can we pray for Jerusalem? And the judgments will come. Despite our prayers, God's judgment will come upon the city of Jerusalem. But God will spare a remnant, and he'll rebuild the city. The Lord Jesus, as the Son of David, will reign from there. And then the people in that day will pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But, you know, we can spiritually apply this to us as the church. You know, we're on a journey. We're pilgrims too. And we're heading not for a city on the earth, but the city whose builder and maker is God in heaven, eternal in the heavens. We're described in the New Testament as pilgrims. Peter describes us as pilgrims in his epistle, strangers, foreigners, pilgrims. We're heading, this is not our home, we're heading on. And we're heading to the Father's house, brothers and sisters. We're heading to be where the Lord Jesus is now. And we're going to reign and rule with him. And we can sing this song in a spiritual way along those lines. And we can pray for the peace of the church, for the unity of the church as well, and even our local assemblies. We can apply it, you know, in this way, spiritual application. I don't have any doubt that we can do that. But prophetically, it's speaking of a future time, in connection with the peace of Israel and their unity. May the Lord bless you today as you consider the truth of the psalm.